Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're going some old school, some long and forgotten style here.
Yeah, what is this? This is a Kentucky Common?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic label right here from the good folks at OIB, Old Irving Brewing. 3.4%, Brad.
Yeah. That's one of the two to three beer styles considered to be... it's in the United States, so otherwise known as a dark cream ale or common beer. So the style is indigenous to the United States.
I want to say this, the steam beer was a Kentucky common.
Yeah, like Civil War, Prohibition, so like pre-Prohibition. Who's the other? Sipes.
Oh, so that's a steam beer?
No, I don't think it's common, but it's a pre-Prohibition style beer, yeah. Right? Considered to be indigenous to the United States. One of the two or three beer styles. What are the other beer styles like?
Probably pumpkin beer. There's a lot of pumpkins. There's a lot of pumpkins when George Washington and them boys showed up.
The hazy IPA?
The pumpkin beer is a Kentucky common, and the hazy IPA, American originals, motherfucker.
No mess. What's also great about this, one, it's like fantastic beer, but it's only 3.4%.
Yeah.
And it drinks like bigger. Like it's got a big body.
It is punching out of its class for sure. You wouldn't guess this is 3.4. No. This is a full bodied beer for 3.4, so good job on that. And then Kentucky Common is it's gotta be a lot. Oh, dark cream beer. It says it's an ale. Okay. Ales.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, but always it's in my head Kentucky Common's a lager, but
Cole is one of the names of it because it's like Kentucky Common Ale pre-Prohibition historical beer, Cole. Kentucky Common.
It's cool that they're mixing it up. This kind of looks like a Sierra Nevada label a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, I can see that with
there's a little head nod to the good folks at Sierra Nevada, who Sierra Nevada's doing fine. Anchor got bought by the yogurt king.
And Anchor had a steam beer, right?
Yeah.
Anchor Steam.
Yeah, it was Anchor Steam. Yeah. That brewery had crazy stories about how this is like the third or fourth iteration because the buildings kept like getting damaged or burned to the ground.
Okay. But yeah, this is a fantastic beer. I was over at Old Irving for lunch today, and then I picked up some beer to go. I did not have this beer. I did have one of their Pilsners. No Limit or No Regret or...
No Limit?
Or two... Like, I don't know. It was basically their Pilsner.
No Limits, No Regrets. Their Della is their Kolsch.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. How did the Pils stack up to like the Della? I think Della's probably in their top three beers.
Yeah, like I wanted to get Della.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I needed to try something new, right? Like that was the problem. Like I want Della.
This is important, man, though. You know, you did the right thing because I've never seen this beer. I probably won't, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably a small run.
No.
So.
They also had a red ale that I wanted to try. And I'm like, damn it, it's lunchtime. I can't be doing this. And they had a barley wine they did with Goose Island.
Oh, did they?
That
now?
They have two packs to go. I almost got some of that. But then I was like, I have all this barley wine in my fridge from Revolution.
Yeah, Goose knows their way around the barley wine. It's one of those styles where you kind of feel comfortable drinking from them, regardless of which one it is.
Yeah. So if you make it over there and you want to get some barley wine, that's your spot right now.
I'm probably going to need some, you know. Yeah.
But the Pilsner was great. Always good food over there. And then Maeve had a Miko's Ice cocktail.
Oh.
And they have some Miko Ice sours, some fruited sours that they're doing too.
Is that the closest
Italian ice?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Just delicious stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We stopped by there like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I've had never been actually.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I know that's one of the places that Goose had the giant lemons.
Okay.
And I'm like, how have I never been here? This is delicious.
Yeah. It's so very good. It's very sweet, but they're
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Especially on a super hot day.
Yeah.
Like, having that. But so they're doing all these like fun collaborations with people. I think the Red Ale might be a collaboration with a band.
That's smart, so. Man. You know, very Northwest side specific, you know? That's cool. I like that.
And then I saw Small Bar Phil. Was there.
Just kind of randomly chilling at fucking OIB.
Yeah.
How's Small Bar Phil doing these days?
Just brief hello, because we were there with the baby, so we like needed to go.
Yeah.
And yeah, seemed good. We saw him when we walked in, and I kept looking at him like, I haven't seen him in a...
He was Small Bar Phil. When Small Bar folded, they made room for him at Half Acre.
Right.
And he was at Half Acre for a little bit, and then I don't know what he did after that.
I forget. I'm not sure where he's at. I'd have to look at his LinkedIn profile and see.
Right. Yeah. Small Bar was one of those places that, you know, in the early days, you know, pioneer, dare I say. It was one of the early pioneers of craft.
Yeah, it was one of the first places to, one, have good beer, and then have good food, be a bar that had good food.
Because
everywhere else was chicken wings, and that was basically it.
Yeah, probably burgers.
A shitty burger, not a smash burger, just a shitty burger, chicken wings, pizza puff, like basically frozen things.
Yeah, so then there ended up being three small bars, I think different ownership at each one, and then now there's just one small bar.
Right.
Which is, you know, part of...
Petty Please.
Yeah, they're part of, I think they're part of the Bangers and Lays crew, I think.
Oh, okay.
They're part of a restaurant group.
Yeah.
Or a bar group, so. Yeah, small bar era was something. There used to be really cool events there right on Division.
Right.
And it was very beer-centric with good food, like you said.
But that was my only stop, and it was before we did the show. So I had to squeeze something in.
That's pretty good,
that's what I did.
That's pretty good, yeah.
What about you?
I did stop at Revolution. I think we talked about it on the show.
Yeah. You going to open this up?
I think I'm going to crack this open. There's a Rye Way to Heaven on the table.
What year is it from? It probably says at the bottom, right?
Soft, Sweet, Silky Sipper from 2022. Oh, man. Can conditioned. Barley wine? No, rye wine.
What's the limit? You should be keeping these in cans.
Yeah, right. The Beer Temple guys, they were talking about this, and I think their synopsis was that after like 5 years, there's chemicals in these cans.
Right, because it's sprayed to basically not leach into the aluminum.
Yeah,
and that's going to degrade over time, right?
How long is it built to last? It's not like like, I have cans, right? Like, I have a White Sox can from, I think it was Goose. I just never plan to open it. It just kind of sits in, like, its own little koozie as a keepsake. I never plan on drinking it. But, yeah, how long do you keep brewing cans?
Right. It's got to last longer than, like, a Coke in a can, because a Coke is going to, like, eat away at that, like...
They say if you put Coke in your toilet, it cleans your fucking toilet.
So
it's for sure going to eat through this can.
Yeah. So the beer might last a little... It's going to last longer.
But what is, because, you know, you're onto something, because Rev's whole program is in cans. A lot of people move to cans.
Yeah.
So you got beers that, you know, are meant for cellaring that are coming out in cans, but how long are you supposed to keep these cans?
Right. You know? We were talking about the 15-year beer, which you tried. I have the 10-year beer still in cans, so that's 5 years.
You got to get to the bottom of when the poison kicks in.
Yeah. I'll let Nick take the first sip here.
How long should beer...
You feeling okay after?
Staying
cans. This is only 3 years, so.
Yeah, I think we're fine on this one. But in general, though, I mean, this is a fair conversation. Canned beer typically remains best quality for 3 to 6 months.
This is the AI summary?
Yeah, but we're not asking that. We're asking how long can you keep it?
Can is a, we need a should you keep it. Can, you can keep it forever in the can, right?
But
can you drink it? Live Googling.
Before the can degrades. Can lining. Beer cans are lined with a thin food-grade plastic coating that prevents the beer from contacting the aluminum.
Yeah. But how long does that last?
Aluminum longevity. Aluminum can last for 300 years.
Okay.
But
that's what I'm saying. The beer can last forever in the can, but do you want to drink it?
Yeah. Yeah, the can lining. That's what we want.
Yeah. But you've seen people like open up old hams that they've found from the 80s and stuff, and that's got to taste nasty because it probably didn't have the food grade lining on it, and it was just in the aluminum.
Yeah, I need the paid version of chat. They're not telling me anything. They're telling me it's 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Which we kind of get that. Like that's when it's at its best.
Yeah.
But how long before it's not safe to drink? Yes. Maybe that's the question. We'll do that after the show.
Okay. we'll open up that 10-year beer at some point and see how it's tasting.
But yeah, man, Rev, you know, they do all the variants of their beers. So I would think it was a 15-year Strawberry Jacket and Thunder Taker are the first three of the season.
Okay.
The 2025-2026 Deep Woods season. And so they had variants of those beers on, plus the originals. So this was a really good time, man, at Rev. I mean, the whole, you know, half the tap list is dedicated to all this stuff. So yeah, 15-year beer is, what is it? It's a double bourbon barrel-aged barley wine and rye wine with cherries.
Okay.
So it's VSOJ with cherry blended with rye wine.
Hmm.
That's what it sounds like.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. These beers are so nuanced and so fun.
And you tried this one?
So easy to drink. Yeah, that might have been my favorite one. Ooh. Either that one and the chocolate covered strawberry jacket.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I give the nod to the 15-year beer.
Chocolate covered strawberry jacket in cans?
It was on draft. It was the variant. The strawberry jackets in cans. The one-off for the party was on draft.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, 11.7%, and it as advertised. It's really good. Mm. It's good in a dessert sense. So if you're just talking beer flavor with no like real emphasis on dessert, then you get a nod to 15-year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thunder Taker was there. I had Thunder Taker Express, which is Thunder Taker with coffee, which was pretty fantastic. So it's a rye stout with coffee.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, man, these guys are just fucking killing it, man. You know, they're just, I don't know, man. They're the best in town, and they're fucking, they're fucking rolling, man. With this barrel aged stuff, they're rolling.
Nice.
Oh, but I did want to say there was a cherry Amburana version of a barley wine. Oh, 15-year cherry Amburana. So I think they just swapped out the barrels for these Brazilian wood barrels.
Oh, right.
Amburana.
Okay.
So I think it imparts more like a, I think it's more spice forward. It people use it. It kind of imparts like notes of like rum.
Oh, cool.
Into the beer.
Yeah. That's fun. Okay.
So that was on draft as well. But yeah, there was a list of like 10. I wonder if they're still there because I kind of, now that we're talking about it, I kind of want to go back and try some more.
I know that the Strawberry Jacket sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was my only stop this week. I did try their beer with Moore's. They did a collab with Moore's for the that party in Pittsburgh that they go to, the big party. Barrel and Flow. It's a collab event. So they did a Polish lager.
Okay.
A peculiar choice. I like
that. It's not a thing, but okay.
I'm like, I want to know more about this. Like, what's Polish about it? And then why are you doing a Polish lager for this event?
Right, because there is like those, just like two Polish beers.
Yeah.
They're not very good.
Yeah. So this is a peculiar choice. I mean, this beer was solid. I mean, either, you know how you can't really tell, like, is this beer delicious or is this a lovely break from the 15% beer that I've been pounding since I got here? It's a nice break from all the other stuff I was drinking.
Okay.
So that was fun. But yeah, I am very curious about, because I go to the Moore's IG, I go to Rev's IG, and this is their collab. It's called Morvolution. But they don't get into why they made this beer or what this beer
is. Okay.
Yeah. It's a, Polish Pilsner. So.
That's it. Okay. There you go.
I'm like, oh, that's all I need to know? You should tell me. I need to find out more.
Okay. So. This rye weight is really good, and coming off of the Kentucky Common, it went really well. It just felt like an amped up version of the Common.
Seriously, like concentrated.
Like the body is, not that it's the same, but it just felt like they went together. They paired really well together.
Yeah. It's not like you're missing a step.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, it's like a natural
you
thing.
You eased into it. You right? eased into that it. That way.
So. That's what we did.
Oh, cool. So those are the Rev beers, and they're out now, the first release.
The first three, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't know anybody at Rev now, so we don't know for sure what they all taste like out of the can.
We still know Marty.
Oh, yeah, we do know Marty. We should have him on the show.
Sure, yeah. You know? Or go there.
We should do the show from there.
Right.
Yeah.
May have to do more on the goes.
Yeah, we need to hear Marty talk more.
Yeah.
And we said this to him at that one faux bad when I was gushing really heavy, you know. I was explaining to him, like, you know, that part of what made them cool is that there are not a lot of crews that'll hang out and talk to you and explain the process to you. And, you know, why you pick the source barrels and how long you sit in the coffee and the beers and, you know, why you're making these beers as you release them. No one sat up and had a Zoom call like that other than Rev and Goose.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of stuff's really cool. It gets me excited about the beer. Cool. It gives me like a reference point to what I'm tasting. So if I taste it again, I can kind of speak to things a little more.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's more fun. It's more fun to hear the brewers use their words to describe this stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
So, so they have theirs out, and then these are already on the shelves. And then we got word about Goose Island. You know, they can't be forgotten, right? Yeah,
you can't have Rev have all the fun.
So
Black Friday.
There's come out Black Friday, which, again, you guys need to stop this shit and do what Rev does and put them out more often. You should slow roll it into Black Friday and then put out, like, should do one every like month leading up to it, and then like release the four or something.
We did talk about there being you and I talked about it. It was like we should have a four pack of, you know, the Chicago rollout should be in cans, I think we said, or it should be like a four pack, or it should be something like, we said it should be in like smaller bottles, basically.
Right. And they're in smaller bottles now.
And now they're in smaller bottles. So maybe they're listening. That was my whole point. That took a while to get there, but that was
and
my
so
point.
And so now they could do like a nice little four-pack gift. They should do a four-pack gift set. Like
that's what we said. That's what we said. They should do a gift set. They should do gift sets. That's exactly what we said.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So BCS is in 10-ounce cans this year. 10-ounce bottles. It's still a cute little bottle, but the 16.9 is now a 10-ounce.
So, I have a question. Are they going to cost the same as last year's? And now they're 10 ounces. So we were at, it was 12 or was it 16?
You mean when they did the throwback four packs? Those are 12s, 12 ounce cans, where it was a single barrel.
No, like all Goose Island, Bourbon County.
Just all of them are 16.9%.
And so now they're 10.
Yes, just the OG.
Do they cost the same amount?
Does the OG?
So is this like shrinkflation at its like?
Yeah, because these are
peak.
The problem with these beers, I love Goose Island. We all know that. These beers are not friendly. They're not cost friendly. You know, it's,
right.
And then sometimes it kind of leans into, I'm buying a $40 beer,
and then you're like, I shouldn't drink a $40 beer myself. So then you feel like you need to at least share it.
Yeah.
So you at least have two or three or four people that you're sharing this with.
This
right?
is interesting. I am kind of curious about the pricing because you can buy all these other, the ones that are 16.9 in the old format, you can buy all those individually, but are you going to be forced to buy the four pack? And is the four pack going to be like $50 or some right. shit?
And then a lot of bars, they'll do 8 ounces.
Because of the glasses,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're at 10 ounces at home, but I could get an 8-ounce, what, $10 pour?
Yeah. The only reason I would get it at the bar is if I couldn't get a single bottle of the 10 ounce.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that this 10 ounce is going to come in four packs.
Oh, you think
they didn't say that, though. It didn't say that in, in any of the
language. Why do you think that?
Well, the single barrels came in 4-packs. Mm. But maybe that wasn't the OG, though.
Okay.
That was a single barrel. So maybe they do come in
individual.
I think so.
Yeah. People aren't going to buy them if they have to buy four.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, but yeah. Should we talk about the variants?
What are they?
Okay. Let's see. Parker's Heritage Reserve Stout. These are the barrel forward extended aged ones. Parker's Heritage Reserve Double Barrel Heaven Hill. And then after that, we go into the variants. Cherries Jubilee, Chocolate Praline. Proprietors this year is a Baklava.
Okay.
Inspired beer. I think baklava is honey, pistachios, walnuts, and cassia bark, which is a type of cinnamon.
Okay.
So it's supposed to mimic a baklava.
They should have just leaned into like the Dubai chocolate craze with that, with the pistachio.
Why not just call it that instead of baklava?
Yeah.
This is what rice pudding versus horchata.
Right? Yeah.
They always lean into the other one.
Would have sold more if you would call it Dubai chocolate,
or even Dubai chocolate. Cherries Jubilee. So Cherries Jubilee Stout is Montmorency. I always butcher that. Montmorency cherries.
Oh yeah.
Panela, which is like a dark sugar, and citrus.
Okay.
So and it's finished in cognac barrels. So it's BCS that goes through the regular OG process, and then they finish it in cognac barrels. So I'm kind of curious about that.
This one sounds the most fun.
Yeah.
Before the show, you asked me, do you ever just order Cherries Jubilee?
It seems like something, when I looked, dug into it, it seemed like something from like the 1960s.
Yeah. It's like an old, you're going to have like deviled eggs and Cherries Jubilee.
No, seriously. This sounds like something like Julia Childs is making and the TV is black and white. It's like literally from like 80 years ago.
This
fucking thing. So it's just an odd reference. They do make a point to they have these odd references to these beers. But yeah. I mean, cherry rye was pretty good.
Okay.
All those years ago.
I like cherry ice cream and black cherry ice cream, like all that's kinda good.
I mean, this kinda has my attention because so it's got the fancy cherries.
Right, those are the like $20 little jar cherries.
Oh
like,
yeah, and then
because there's the Maraschino like cheap ones.
Yeah,
but the nice ones are like those
ones you splurge a little bit, have them on your bar.
Those are the ones you want in your old fashions.
Exactly, and you can drop a little bit of the juice in there and you really get the party going.
Yeah.
The Panela, the dark sugar, but it sounds like the citrus is going to cut through some of that. That's going to be nice because this is a dark heavy beer. And then it's finished in cognac barrels. That's going to add another layer of booze and another layer of flavor. It sounds like on paper, this might be the most interesting one.
Right. I think it's good that they went the cognac barrels because I think otherwise it might have maybe felt more like an old fashioned.
You get lost.
If it was like the bourbon barrels, right? It would be a cherries jubilee. But the cognac barrels add something else that makes it a little sweeter and more desserty.
Yeah, and I think this is like, if I remember, Cherry Jubilee is kind of like this, basically like a flambéed, like table side. We got these cherries, we got this booze, we got this sugar, we light it on fire, and it's this whole thing. It's a presentation.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm curious about that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a tight
Wait,
lineup.
Is there only there's five?
Let's see. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So two. Oh, regular. We forgot about regular.
OG. And then we haven't talked about chocolate praline at all. What are we doing? It's already got notes of fudge and chocolate.
Right. You got some old people candy things here, right? Cherries Jubilee, pralines, and baklava.
And some people, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are the people eating desserts at Goose Island 80 years old? My grandpa's favorite ice cream, and this is like a common old people ice cream.
Butter pecan
and pistachio. Seriously. Those are those two they love the most, right?
Yeah. it's curious.
Or just vanilla, just plain vanilla.
it's very curious that they chose to go baklava, praline, and cherry jubilee as the variants.
Right.
That is very. It's beyond old school. Old school at this point would be 80s. This is beyond that, though. This is like 60s. It's very, very peculiar setup. These might be good though. I mean, I think they might be good.
Yeah, and then I think
side note, available in 4-pack 10-ounce bottles is what it says.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I overlooked that.
So it did say it. Okay.
4-pack, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So it's like, listen, this just, shit is, you gotta buy the 4-pack.
Do you buy any 4-pack? Is it whatever or just the?
You're buying the 10-ounce bottles in a 4-pack.
Right, but you pick?
No, there's only one beer coming in 10-ounce bottles, and that's the OG. The OG's not, the other ones are regular, they're full size.
Oh, they're not all 10 ounces?
Just the OG. The OG.
That's confusing.
So they're not doing what we said. We said the same thing about Guinness. Guinness has all these brands that they pride on. Well, Belgium gets this one and England gets this one. And we're like, just give us once a year, give us all of them at once in a smaller format.
Yeah.
We were asking for that, but I think they're like, well, we'll give you the OG in a smaller format.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which is kind of on par because instead of 12-ounce 4-packs like they did with the single barrels.
Yeah.
And the cool vintage label, the white with the
black script.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Instead of 12-ounces, now it's the same OG but in 10-ounce bottles. And instead of the old throwback script, it's the current.
But you got to buy four, which is $40.
What it sounds like.
$50, $49.99.
Let's see the pricing because the pricing was not included in any of this stuff, I don't think, during the launch. I think that comes out later.
Because that was the only thing. That was the best thing about OG. $9.99. This is $9.99.
Yeah.
So if you wanted like one of the best Bourbon County stouts you could get, here it is, $10.
Yes, exactly. Are you depriving us of that in favor? You're not giving us both. Are you giving us smaller format and the option to buy a tiny bottle? Like, but you know, Lil Buddy is not. You can't buy one Lil Buddy.
It's not Lil Buddy. It's not cost effective. But it's damn cute.
You can't buy one Lil Buddy. You got to buy four. So if you get the smaller one, I think you got to buy four. I hope that's not true. But it sounds like, in a language, it sounds like it might be.
Yeah. So. Okay. Interesting. And then the barrel ones, the Heaven Hills, whatever. The Parker, yeah. Was it Parker's?
Parker's Heritage. So Parker's Heritage changes every year. Like Parker is his name's Parker Beam, so he's in the Beam family. But a lot of people don't know this, that all, like most of the Heaven Hill distillers were all Beams. Up until like 5 years ago, every Heaven Hill distiller was a Beam.
Interesting. Okay.
So Parker Beam, they have Parker's Heritage because I think he died from like Lou Gehrig disease. ALS, I think it was. Oh, but every year Parker's Heritage is a different whiskey.
Yeah.
So the one that they have for these barrels is a cask strength 10-year-old rye whiskey.
Okay.
So this is rye barrel aged Bourbon County, which I think will be fun because like vanilla rye was rye barrel aged. There was one a couple years ago that was rye barrel aged too. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Yeah, I think I want to try these. I don't know. If I was going out and buying them, I would buy Heaven Hill and Strawberry or Cherry Jubilee. Yeah. That would be like my gut.
Yeah.
To buy.
Yeah, the Heaven Hill one is it looks like the Heaven Hill one is the one that's aged for 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that's a full double barrel. So that's their tradition. Like, hey, we put it in this one barrel for a year. Put it in a whole another barrel, another fresh barrel for another year.
Okay.
So I think you see that theme throughout some of these double barrels.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can't believe we're already talking about Black Friday and, you know, we're just now in August.
Yeah, we're just now in August for sure. So, yeah, but Black Friday is upon us. So, but yeah, that's a pretty solid lineup. I think this lineup, they stay away from the absurd, right? Like, nothing's, like, polarizing. Like, when you saw Kentucky Fog or when you saw, what's the Jungle Bird. Like, these are things where some people said, oh, that sounds really fun. Other people were like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
We're staying away from that with this lineup. This
is kind of... Yeah, they're going, like, classic desserts, right?
Yeah. They're going classic desserts on this one. Yeah, they're going almost vintage. You're going vintage desserts, right?
Yeah.
So, We'll see. We'll see if the execution's there. I mean, the intent is always there to be cool. I mean, not, let me back up. The intent is always there to be interesting. But is the execution always there? You know, does it always work out that way?
It doesn't work out, but the idea's there. There's, I would say because it's Goose, there's maybe too much planning where someone like Rev is like, we got this one. Oh, I guess it didn't work out. We have another one next month. So you already forgot.
Yeah.
But Goose is like, this now is sitting on the shelf for a year and no one wants Kentucky Fog still.
Yeah. And while we're comparing them, I think what Rev does with these releases and gives you a variant of the release on draft only.
It adds to like the fun of it.
Yeah. Or... pretty slick move. And it gets everyone excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets everyone excited. You see everything on the shelf. You want to do something fun and get it.
Give me the cherry jubilees, but we use strawberries instead of cherries. Yeah. Like, duh, that's not even a thing. Maybe it's a thing, not a thing for a reason. Or you probably use like blueberries instead of cherries and have a similar effect.
But I mean, when we talked about this last week a little bit or last show, you know, we forget when you compare Goose and Rev are in the same city, but when you compare Goose to Rev, Goose is a national brand and Rev is not.
Right.
So that's another reason why you got these are broader strokes. These baklavas and cherry jubilee.
Yeah.
This is they're trying to cast a wider net with these things, that sounds like. So we'll see.
All right. Fun. Anything else? I saw Hop Butcher is turning 10.
Oh, wow.
I think they're doing a party at the, you know, their tap room / old Half Acre Space.
Yeah.
But that's crazy that they're already 10. And that was the only thing that popped up
that I noticed. Oak Park Oak Park Microbrew Review is coming up.
Tickets are on sale. When's that?
That is August 16th.
Oh, that's coming up real soon.
That's in 2 weeks, man. Yeah. So that's in beautiful downtown Oak Park, 12 to 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where if you're curious about a lot of suburban breweries and you don't want to go to them all, they'll all be at this thing.
Yeah. And if you want to start your Oktoberfest ales, your Marzins, you can start at Oak Park Microbrew. That's usually the first time you see them.
I don't want to ride this. I am so summer. I just started riding my bike.
I feel like we have had a bad Chicago summer.
Yeah.
Right? It's been.
Oh, it's been like been super hot.
It's been super hot and gross. And when it's not super hot and gross, it's raining.
Yeah.
That's basically what we've had. So summer like doesn't feel like it ever happened.
Being a Chicagoan is being honest in the fact that you have to leave Chicago over 12 months. Or you'll be pissed.
Sure.
You have to leave and go somewhere else.
Right. You haven't left?
Maybe I have. I don't know. I don't know, maybe.
How pissed are you? Have you left or not?
But yeah, because the weather here, man, will break your fucking heart. Just like the teams. The teams suck. And sometimes the weather sucks just right along with it.
The Cubs are fine.
Oh, yeah. Cubbies. Yeah, but until September. They were fine last year.
Until they blow it off.
They were fine last year until September.
Doesn't matter. They're fun to watch. Everyone's fun to watch.
So. Regular season is super fun. Super fun team. Good for them.
Chicago dogs are always great.
Fireworks.
Fridays are like $2 drafts.
Yeah. I need to make my maiden voyage to the Chicago Dogs game.
It's $3 to park.
Sounds nice. These are all the things I like. Cheap beer, cheap parking, and easy to get to.
Beer selection. They have Antihero and Sierra Nevada. I like their best options.
I like the Palo.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I'll have 5 Sierra Nevadas, please. And just fucking hang out in the bleachers.
There you go. Yeah. Uh-huh. We did bleachers last time. Bleachers were pretty good.
See?
You don't get like a cup holder, which that kind of sucks.
But... no, yes, you know. You're rooting for the dogs, man. That's all that matters.
I'm not rooting for anyone. I'm just there.
This guy's rooting for the Indiana Steel Mill team.
The Railcats.
The rail. The Railcats. I was close.
Anything else, or are we gonna get out of here?
I think that's it. Buy tickets to Oak Park Microbrew Review. It's a good hang.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
Cheers.